Your Bibles, please turn to the book of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20. I'm going to shorten just a few verses. We're going to read just verses 19 through 24 tonight. We read through verse 27 this morning, but for sake of time, we'll read through verse 24 tonight. John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 24. I'm going to preach the second half of my sermon this morning. Don't worry. If you weren't here, I'll get you caught up. Amen. And I want you to relax on that. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 24, and let's read responsively. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. We love you. Holy Spirit of God, help us, catch us up. And Lord, may we be in stride with you in reference to your church, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, the sermon title is, What's the Purpose of Church Anyway? What's the purpose of church anyway? Give me just a few moments. I'll catch you up. I'll restate some things I said this morning. I get a little tired. Let me rephrase that. I get a little sick and tired of the world saying, well, you Christians are just so weak, you got to have church. Well, who made them the authority? Why do they think they're superior to a Christian? And I went through some illustrations. They think because we believe a young man, a young lady ought to hit the altar to be married, pure, chaste, and virgin, that we're the weird ones and that they're right. Everybody doing all right? Okay, it's okay to amen. They say we're weak because of that, but guess what? We have the same passions and desires they have. To do that takes strength, not weakness. They complain about, well, you're just trying to legislate morality. They're trying to legislate and are legislating immorality. They think because we think it's wrong to drink booze and do tobacco and do drugs illegally and that type of thing, that we're the weaklings and the weirdos when they're the weirdos and the weaklings. Now, I say that to say this. I'd rather trust the word of God than the philosophy of man. I don't trust Hollywood. I don't trust the philosophies of man, humanism, evolution, global warming, all that mess, and it has no place in the church. Now, God gave us the church, and the church is an interesting place. It is a Greek word. The word church is a Greek word, ekklesia. It's a compound word, ek meaning out, klesia meaning a called out assembly. That's what the word church is all about. It is a called out assembly of believers, and that means this. You have to not only be called out of one group, but you have to become part of another group to be a church. In other words, fellas, your tree stand can't be church. You can pray there, oh God, send a big one my way. You can even worship there. By the way, worship means telling God how good he is. Thanking him for what he is and thanking and loving on him for what he is. You can worship there, but you can't call your tree stand, your boat, or anything else church. The word, there are many assemblies, but they're not called out assemblies. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. Go online, listen to this morning's sermon, and it'll help you a little bit. Now, the church is not a house of worship. The church is not, by the way, you won't find public worship in that book anywhere to God. You will to false gods, but not to Jehovah God. And when God speaks of worship, it's always one-on-one. I preached a whole sermon on that here, several weeks ago. And the church is not a social club. It's not a country club. It's not an alternative from the world. And we're not supposed to bring the world into the church. We're called out of the world to not be like the world, to be more like what God wants us to be. Yes, sir. Everybody doing all right? So, I'm going to catch you up. I made 4 points this morning. I'm going to run through them very quickly. Number one, the church is the one thing you can join that Jesus started. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And by the way, in the book of Ephesians, verse 5:23, it says that Christ is the head of the church. Wow. You say, well, what kind of church did Jesus start? He started a local Baptist church. How do you know it was Baptist? There was a guy named John, and his last name wasn't Baptist. John the Baptist. After Jesus was baptized, or right as he was baptized, he had started the church. Everybody doing okay? That was a Baptist church. John's last name was not Baptist. He was called the Baptist because he baptized by immersion for the church. That's exactly what we do. He didn't sprinkle him. He didn't pour it on his head. He didn't wave a wand and say kumbaya and all the other things that go on. It wasn't anything like that. It was a Baptist church. And the church is something you're to join. Just because you attend a church does not mean you have joined the church. And you need to be saved, need to be baptized by immersion, and you need to agree with the church and then actually join the church. At the end of a church service, come down here. We'll fill out a card that you can join. If you've been saved, if you've been baptized, you can join tonight. If you've been saved but not baptized, we can baptize you. You can join the church by that way. Whatever it takes, but you're supposed to actually join the church. Then, point number two, the church was started for comfort. If we went through the story here in John chapter 20 again, and I know I'm talking really fast, but I only have 23 more minutes to go, and I have to cover a lot of territory, all right? So here we go. The church was started for comfort. If you noticed, the disciples were meeting on a Sunday night having a church service. If you look at verse 19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. First day of the week is Sunday, all right? Monday is not the first day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. Saturday is the Sabbath. When Jesus came to earth and he fulfilled the Sabbaths, that's why Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. He already fulfilled all those. Those had already been cared for. And he started the church to meet on the first day of the week, and they were meeting in the evening. That means Sunday morning church, Sunday night church. Everybody doing all right? Here we go. So it is a place that was started for comfort. The disciples and others met there because they were afraid they were going to get killed too, like Jesus did. And he came in and said, peace be unto you. And he started to comfort them. By the way, the one that wasn't there was called Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Can I tell you why he was doubting? Because he wasn't in church when he was supposed to be. He missed church and began to doubt. All right? Now, I got to hurry. Number three, the church is a place of encouragement. Can I tell you something? I get encouraged coming to church. I know sometimes I preach hard. I know sometimes I preach on your sin. I'm always preaching on my sin because I'm a sinner, amen? But may I say this, it's also a place to get encouragement. And it's a place, by the way, when that book is preached the right way, it's encouraging. It is. It ought not discourage you, it ought to encourage you. I preached a couple weeks ago about the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. And I was trying to do it in such a way where you weren't afraid of it. I wanted y'all to know what's coming. Man, I'm excited. We ought to be excited. We ought not spend our inheritance here. We ought to send it on ahead so we got something to live for once we get there. Amen. And that's why the whole purpose of it was to encourage you. And where there's life, there's encouragement. So I said it's the one thing we can join that Jesus started. Number two, church was started for comfort. Number three, church is a place of encouragement. Number four, it is a place to give your tithe. God said, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 1, now upon the first day of the week, they brought their tithes to the church. Malachi 3:8, they brought their tithes to the storehouse. You don't send your tithe to the guy that needs a $62 million airplane. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You don't send your tithe to some other organization. The tithe was given to run the house of God. That's how God finances the work. If everybody does their part, the work of God goes on without problem. Now, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on that. I got to get to the new material because I only have about 20 minutes. Here we go. Point number five. Here we go. The church is a place for growing and maturing. The church is a place for growing and maturing. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians very quickly, and I'm going to start reading as soon as I get there. So Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Can I tell you something? You're supposed to be in church so that you can learn the Bible doctrines so that you're not confused by everybody out there preaching the wrong doctrine. I spend a lot of time, and our church is growing. You have to understand something. I've got folks in this church that have been saved 50, 60, 70 years, and I got folks that have just been saved a few weeks. I have to go back and bring everybody up to speed. So be patient, those of you grizzled veterans. I got new ones on the way, amen? And so you say, well, sometimes you preach some things I like. Yeah, because I got new folks that need it. But may I say this, we're all supposed to grow. We are all supposed to grow. Even some of us grizzled old veterans need to be reminded of the basic things so when we are out soul winning and we're talking to people, we can help them. It's not always for your own personal gut. Sorry to say it that way. Sometimes we want to go to church just for what we get instead of what we can get to help somebody else. And it is a place for us to grow. It's a place for good doctrine. I'll promise you, there are many, 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 many preachers out there that are better preachers than I. But I'll promise you, I'm giving you good doctrine. I'll give you good doctrine. I might not dress it up as pretty. I might not dress it up as exciting. I might not have all the funny stories, except stepping on a duck. Amen, Brother Brining. I might not have some of the whimsical ways, but may I say this, I will give you good doctrine. I'm not going to cheat you on doctrine. I'll promise you that. This is a place for us to get ready for heaven. Did you know this life is temporary? My big goal for you is to be ready for when you suck your last breath here and take your first one in heaven. Amen. Say, when is it? I don't know. God's in charge of that. I just want you ready. I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be afraid of what's going on here. And I don't want you to be afraid of what's on the other side. There is another side, and that one lasts forever. This is just the warm-up. We're getting ready for the big game, amen? And I want you ready when you die or when the rapture takes place, that we're ready to go with him, and we have things ahead waiting on us when we get there. I got to tell this story. One of the bus kids from Winchester, getting off the bus today, handed Brother Stoltz $30, and said, "Here, y'all are spending a lot of money. Come get us and gas. Can you use this for the church, for gas expense, for the church, for the van?" A bus kid. Folks, I don't know about you. I just about had to take a lap around the building, not the auditorium. If I didn't have to preach and I wouldn't have got all sweaty, I would have. Can I tell you something? Man, that just thrilled my heart. There's two little girls that got saved today and that adult woman that got saved today. That's worth it all. And we had folks saved last week and the week before and the week before and the week before. And just about every week we're seeing people get saved. Hey, that's investing in the future. Whew. I don't know about you. I'm having more fun than ought to be legal. good night. This is a place for us to learn and get closer to God. I enjoy when I've had two men this week say, "Preacher, would you pray for me to get closer to God?" The fact that they're even asking me means they're getting closer. Yes, sir. I'm so proud of them. I really was. Now, it's a place for us to have faithful friends that are away from worldly influences. Folks, this ought to be the pool of your friendship. Make a statement here. The closest friends I have on the face of the earth are in this room right now. I told my wife about 5:20, 5:30 when I got home last night from the men's activity. 12 of us went to Cabela's yesterday. One of the teenage girls, Julian, asked my wife, "What's Cabela's?" My wife's description was perfect. "It's a mall for men." I thought that was funny. It's great. Now, wait a minute. I told my wife, I said, "Honey, I've been to Cabela's quite a few times, and I enjoy it, but I love being with our men." We laid down last night. She said, "I got to ask you something." She said, "This is really weird." I thought, my wife doesn't start questions off that way. She said, "Do men shop like women in groups?" I said, "Nope, two, maybe three, that's it. We don't want to walk around. We don't go to the bathroom together. We don't shop together. You can walk into a men's room and it's dead quiet. You can walk by a ladies' room and it's... What in the world you got to talk about in there, amen? We don't understand that. It's man's world, amen? Now, wait a minute. The church is the... I've spent more time with you men than I have most of the people in my family. I really have. I'm closer to many of you men than I am my own brother. And that doesn't mean my brother's a bad man. He's not a bad person. But I'm closer to you because I spend more time with you. This is the pool of my friendship. By the way, we're supposed to be away from the worldly influences. Quit bringing the worldly music to the church. Quit bringing the worldly philosophies to the church. The worldly entertainment to the church. You know, church isn't supposed to be where we get up and talk about the latest Hollywood movie. How wonderful it is. If you hear it from me, it's going to be about how bad it is, not how good it is. Hollyweird doesn't have a chance of telling you what God says. Right. By the way, you cannot mature if you're not planted. I'm going to say that again. You cannot mature if you're not planted. I brought three plants to the church this week. I transplanted or broke up some plants. There's two big peace lilies in the foyer area. For those of you that are observant, you saw those. For those of you that are not, shazam, when you walk out, they're there. Amen. There's one by the glass door where Brother Schenenberger stands, and another one by my secretary's office. Now, both of those, I've had those plants for 14 years. I got them from Brother Heil's funeral. I've split them puppies a few times. It was time to bring some greenery and real plants to the church, and I finally had a chance, and I split those this week. Can I tell you something? They do well because I don't keep fiddling with them. I haven't broke them up in years. Say why? That's why they're doing well. Too many times Christians want to hop around and jump from place to place. Get yourself locked and loaded. Stay in and grow. That means Sunday school, 9:45. Sunday morning church, 10:45. Sunday night church, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night church, 7 o'clock. Be here every chance you get. I know, work schedules, everything else. But if you can be here, be here. It'll help you grow. I promise you. And I'm going to make a statement here. You go ahead and get mad if you want. But you can't grow on your own better than you can God's way. God said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is." And I do know what I'm talking about here. Yes, sir. You will grow better as a Christian. I have never met a good Christian that did not go to church regularly. Right. When you are out of church, for an extended period of time or multiple times and you are not faithful, you cannot be wise, you cannot make spiritual decisions, and you will make bad mistakes. I didn't say you might, I said you will. Be careful if you get bad health and you get out of church for a while. Bad health has ruined more spiritual people than most things I know. Everybody doing okay? All right, here we go. Number six, and I got to hurry. Number six, church is a place to find courage, inspiration, and challenge to go soul winning. The church was not necessarily supposed to be the only place people got saved. Now, just so you know, they walk through those doors, they're going to get the gospel and they're going to get witness to, amen? Because we're not going to let them in and let them out without hearing the gospel. But may I say this, the thrust of the church was, we go out, get them saved, bring them to church, get them baptized, get them down the aisle, and teach them the things of God to go out and get more people. That's what it's all about. It wasn't intended to be an evangelistic tool to just go reach the lost. It was intended to get the saved motivated to go out and obey God and go soul winning. That's what it's for. Matthew chapter 28 verses 12 and 16 through 20 say that. By the way, many will not come to church ever, but they can still get saved. That's why we go soul winning. God doesn't say you just win the people to go to church. We're supposed to go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. But he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, not just the ones that go to church. We are to go to every creature. I was so proud. I think it was my dad. We walked through the door at Cabela's yesterday. I'm not kidding. You know how tactful my dad is. And we walked through. The guy says, boy, I hope you have a good day. Can I help you with where anywhere you're going? My dad says, I know where I'm going. I'm going there someday. How about you? I mean, just most of the guys hadn't even got through the door yet. My dad's already in the guy's face. Guy was already saved. Thank God. Thought my dad was going to tackle him. I was proud. They knew who we were right away. I saw the guy a little bit later. He said, you the leader of that church group? I said, mm-hmm. He said, those are good men. I said, they're the best. They're the best. I said, you ought to come to our church sometime. He said, where is it? He said, ooh, that's a long way. I said, I came all the way up here to see you. You can come all the way to see me. Laugh. We had a good time. Wait a minute. It is a place for us to get motivated. Can I tell you something? You are commanded to tell others about him. It wasn't a request. God didn't save you to keep your ugly carcass just out of hell. Or your pretty carcass. He saved you not just to keep you out of hell, but he saved you so you'd go out and tell somebody else how to get saved. That's the whole purpose. By the way, it's not just my job. I don't go soul winning because I'm the preacher. I go soul winning because I'm a Christian. I went soul winning long before I was a preacher. I've been soul winning for 35 years plus in my life. Everybody doing all right? I've been knocking on doors. I have knocked on, and I don't think this is an exaggeration, millions of doors. I have knocked doors in Washington, California, Nevada, Texas, Mexico, Colorado, Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio, Indiana, Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, should I keep going? Maine. I've knocked on doors in many places. Missouri, Mississippi, Louisiana. I've been all over the place. I've knocked on doors all over this country telling folks how to get saved. Can I tell you something? I don't do that because I'm the preacher. I do that because I'm supposed to be a Christian. Amen. I've led people to the Lord in an airplane 40,000 feet in the sky. I've led people to the Lord sitting under a tree on a porch swing while they drank sweet tea and I talked to them. Amen? You name it, been there. I am supposed to tell every creature about him. By the way, it's not fancy programs. This is the only program you need. We're not supposed to be out taking a survey. We're supposed to be out taking the gospel. You won't find the word survey in there. Jesus didn't tell the disciples, go survey everybody, bring them back, and I'll tell you which ones to go back to and give them the gospel. Good night. Surveying is a chicken's way out because they don't want to go soul winning. I'll put you with somebody who'll teach you how to go door to door telling folks about him. It doesn't take, if you got saved, you can tell somebody how to get saved. If you are intelligent enough to understand how to get saved, and by the way, I don't care if you're that tall or if you're that tall. My son, before he got saved, my oldest, we were at a restaurant. Little waitress walked up. He had heard me and his pastor preaching on soul winning. He looked at the waitress and said, are you saved? Maybe 3-4 years old. She said, no, honey, are you going to save me? Nope, but my mom or dad will. Man, it's cut or fish bait at that point in time. You talk about convicting. Say, what'd you do? Here you go, ma'am. Let me tell you how you can go to heaven. You say, why? Because I wasn't about to let some little 3-year-old outdo me, amen? Good night. By the way, we don't need rock concerts. We don't need coffee shops. We don't need questionnaires. We need to go out and tell each and every person we meet about the Lord. God's plan, door to door, every creature, our town, our state, our country, our world. That's his plan. Number 7, last point, and you're glad. Here we go. Number 7, the church is a place to be baptized, take the Lord's Supper, learn to pray, learn the Bible, and fellowship. That's what it's for. My oldest sent me a picture. He baptized his first person today. Whew. I was happy for him. My first thought was, yes. My second thought was, I wanted to say, son, I know the honor. I've gotten to do it thousands of times. There's something special about baptizing folks. It is. I have baptized thousands and thousands of people. It's special helping people obey the Lord. It's nothing to be afraid of. I've never lost one. Now, you have to understand something. When I worked in Indiana, we would reach a lot of folks from Chicago. We'd have these big baptism days. We baptized over 5,000 people in one Sunday. Okay, that's more than 1.5 Pentecost Sundays. I baptized over 400 people in about a 3.5-hour span. My arm hurt for a week. And I don't mean to be unkind about this, but not all the time did all of the baptistry clothes fit everybody just right. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So sometimes you had an 8-year-old with a size 40 waist on, and you got everything all balled up and said, okay, you hold them. You hold your drawers, I'll hold you. Amen? And please don't take this the wrong way, but I never met a 300-pound black woman that wasn't afraid of water. Not one. And I had this one lady, and I'll promise you, if she weighed 400 pounds, I'm not lying. I could take you to a person and they could verify this. And I said, ma'am, you put both hands on that arm right there. You let go, I'm letting go of you, and you ain't getting out of here alive. I said, so help me if you let go. I know you're afraid, but I can do this. I said, but if you let go and you grab a hold of me, I'm letting go of you. You get up on your own. She grabbed a hold of me. Blood started squirting out of my arm from her fingernails. I'll take the blood. I got her down, got her up. Her 350-pound sister came in next. I gave her the same story. She didn't follow orders. She got partway down like this. I backed up. She finally found her feet. I said, let's try it again. You hold that arm and you squeeze and get... I had no lie, I had 16 spots where there was blood on my arm that day. It was great. Say, do you let her go? Yeah, because she's trying to fill my waders full of water, and that's not comfortable. Now, wait a minute. It's a place for folks to get baptized. By the way, we're supposed to bring our converts to church so they can get baptized. That's what it's all about. Say, is there something magical about baptism? Yes, it's called obedience. I don't know why God said it. I just do it. I'm not God. I do know this. It secures your salvation. It doesn't change your salvation, but in your mind, it settles it and gives you a confidence about your salvation. I said this morning. I can take my wedding ring off and still be married. People know I'm married because I wear it. Baptism is just like a wedding ring. It's a picture of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and it gives you a confidence. You know, I don't walk through sheets to get coffee in a crowded room full of ladies and wonder, oh, I wonder if they think I'm married or not. They see that. They know. They know. Stay away. That's what that means for everybody but her. Amen? Now, wait a minute. We need to get our converts baptized. This is a place for you to rear your family. It's a spiritual family. That's why we use the term brother around here. We're a spiritual family. We're part of the family of God. When you got saved, you became a son or a daughter of God. If he is a son and I am a son to the same father, that makes us brothers. So we are spiritual brothers. That's why you hear, oh, this brother stuff, that sounds weird. No, it only sounds weird to people that aren't saved. When you got the wrong daddy, you got in-law problems, amen? I don't want their daddy, I want my daddy. I read the last chapter, I know where their daddy's going, I know where my daddy is, and I'm headed there, amen? By the way, this is to be like a spiritual family. You're supposed to grow here. You're supposed to learn the Bible here. You're supposed to pray here. But by the way, you can learn the Bible at home. You're to read it on your own. I love it. Preacher, you got time for a crazy question? There's no such thing. Just ask me. And if I don't know the answer, I'll find it. I don't claim to know everything. I really don't. Now, that's what the church is all about. I said this morning. I close. Please give me 2 minutes. Jesus didn't say, upon this rock, I'll build my synagogue. Jesus didn't say, upon this rock, I'll build my temple. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. A synagogue was a denominational leadership of spiritual people. The Pharisees would worship at the synagogue. They were a ruling religious group of people. It was not a church. It was a, like we would call, a denominational headquarters. Lack of better terminology, it was the Vatican of the day. They just had a lot of them all over the place. It was a ruling religious body. That's what a synagogue was. A temple was a holy place that represented all that Jesus was going to do. And once a year, the Shekinah glory of God would come down and dwell there, just like the tabernacle in the wilderness. And it was the place where God dwelt, and they would bring their sacrifices and things to. Watch this. When Jesus became our high priest and our sacrifice, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Why? Because man had direct access, and man became the temple of God. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's why they got mad at him when he said, you tear that thing down and I'll build it up in 3 days. They said, it took our fathers 70 years to build this thing. He said, no, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about your body. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. The church is a totally different entity. I'm not saying... In my hometown, you have Canton Baptist Temple. I wouldn't name a Baptist church temple, personally, because it's not a temple, it's a church. I'm not telling you they're wrong for doing that, just so you know. Don't misquote me. I'm just saying it's not accurate scripturally, though. He didn't say, upon this rock I'll build the temple. He said, upon this rock I'll build the church. It's an institution we get to be a part of and help grow for him. That's the purpose of the church. They make fun of you. You go to church? Yep. You're that weak? Nope, I'm that strong. You think you're tough? Why don't you come with me? We'll find out how tough they are. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you may need to join the church. Some of you might need to care for some things. Some of you just need to decide you're going to be faithful to it. And some of you just need to decide you're going to come forward and pray and be a better part of this church. Let's be faithful as we should. The church is such an important thing. If you need to come and you need to be saved, we can take care of it. If you need to be baptized, we can care for it. If you need to just pray and be faithful, great. If you want to join the church, we'd love to have you.